During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The Royals have a chance today to have the worst offensive stretch in the history of a game that's been played since Jesus was here.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The last time that we had David Lesky on, do you guys know what the Royals record was? I was pulling it up right now to make sure I got the date right. No, Rudy, that's not it.
14-6.
It was the 6th of last week. So they were probably in the let's get this exactly
45
right.
45-41.
We talked to him on Thursday, May 6th, when the Royals were they were just wrapping up a brutal 5-game losing streak. They're going to have to go deal with the White Sox, but after that at least they'd get to play the Tigers. A 5-game losing streak. When we talked to you last, Lesky, and now it's 11.
Those were quaint times, weren't they?
We talked to you last time, they were 16-14. They're above 500.
Yeah, which they might get there again by sometime in the middle of the Cactus League schedule next year. I'd predict a 3-1 start to spring training. Just, I'm going to say it right off the bat.
Wow.
Just right now,
bold.
Throwing that out there. Put me on what is the cold takes or whatever Twitter account. Like I'm just put me there. I'm there. I'm saying it right now. Over 500 in the first weekend of spring training.
The defeated voice you hear is of course David Lesky. You can follow him on Twitter at DB Lesky, and you can read the immaculate Inside the Crown newsletter at insidethecrown.substack.com or bit.ly/LeskyHatesBobbyWitt, I believe is the bit.ly. I will say, Lesky, I think your best work you brought out in the darkest time. You said, I'm going to be the hero that we need right now. And if you read the most recent newsletter, it's just a bunch of gifts of puppies. It's a Bobby Witt Jr. home run. And then it's some words that you can skip. So
yeah,
really, I really enjoyed that one.
Hang on. I put puppies at the end too. So that way you'd at least pretend like you were reading the words.
He didn't get that far, John. Lesky?
I'm Josh. He's
yeah,
Lesky.
I almost did. Lesky, I mentioned the exact same thing to him.
Yeah.
He didn't get that far.
No, I didn't. I
figured not.
I was reading it today, and then the Chiefs traded for a cornerback, and then I let that distract my mind instead of having anything Royals related in there, because I don't need to be, you know, more depressed about the state of the baseball team.
I will say, you could change the bit.ly to the Royals hate Lesky, because let me tell you what's really bad for subscriptions.
Yeah.
An 11-game losing streak.
Yeah, that has to not be good. That's a great point. And I liked this one. I hit the little heart at the bottom. So
I appreciate it.
I've got that for you at least. I don't know. Let's work backwards. Today, they almost got back at the end. They made it a little interesting, which actually they've done a few times over the course of this streak.
There's a couple positives that I want to hit on real quick.
I love that.
Number one, the Royals are not the Twins.
Yes, true.
Factual.
That's a team that was expecting to win 100 games, and what are they, 12-23 now? Is that right?
They're bad. It's really bad.
They're as bad as the Royals have been, we at least had April. We at least had hey, it's fun for a while. And when you're that good in a month, it takes. I mean, really, the amazing thing is that they've completely erased everything so quickly, because even that took over a week. Basically, the Twins have just had this all season long. I mean, it's just. I mean, they have a 2019 Royals season going on, which I mean that was brutal too. But so that's a positive. And then another positive is that. Chris Bubich has been really good in relief of Daniel Lynch, who is not ready for the big league.
Mondesi is getting a rehab start tonight.
Mondesi is taking the field. He's on the field right now if they start on time at shortstop next to Bobby Witt Jr., which Witt at third, Mondesi at short. I think that's something fun to watch. So that's a positive. That's about it.
Well, you can go to bit.ly/TheRoyalsHateLeski if you want to check out the Inside the Crown newsletter on Substack. It's all right there. You'll get some good work about a bad baseball team. Let's talk about Daniel Lynch, because I really wanted to be excited there. And you mentioned Chris Bubich has been good, but also Daniel Lynch is in his starting spot right now. Yeah. And the absolute best possible start for Jacob Junis was thrown into the bullpen and then summarily lit on fire. So both of those, that little shuffling around for potentially one starting spot, I know they needed some help in the bullpen, but that's been very frustrating to me.
Yeah, in hindsight, if you look at why they did it, it makes sense. It does. Jacob Junis was. It was a very short amount of time, but he was successful at the end of last year in the bullpen. He looked sharp. He looked sharp at the beginning of the season in the bullpen. The bullpen was a mess. Their options to call up were not really great for a reliever, so they went with a starter, their top starting pitching prospect, who they thought was ready. So, that right there, and you say, okay, they need help in the bullpen. Junis can do that. He only threw 25 innings last year, so he's not going to start all season anyway. This is a good opportunity. All this stuff, it made sense. And it has just absolutely exploded on them. I don't blame Dayton Moore or Mike Matheny for that decision. A lot of people do. A lot of people look at that and they go, "Well, see what happened." But when you think about it, why they did it, I think it makes a lot of sense. it didn't help that Lynch was bad. He was okay in his first start. I wouldn't say he was bad. He was fine. It did not help that Junis immediately gave up. I think it was 5 runs that first game, right? Mm-hmm. I think he gave up 5 out of the bullpen. And then the next time he came out, did he give up the home run that tied the game or the home run that took the lead?
I can't remember any individual terrible Royals moment from the last two weeks.
It does not matter at this point. But he had his first scoreless outing out of the bullpen yesterday, I believe, only a week after being put in there. So that's great.
Progress.
Huge progress. But like I said, when you look back on it, your options are to put a guy who's never relieved in the bullpen in Daniel Lynch, if you want to call him up, and hope that he can pitch in leverage spots, or bring a guy up in a situation against an Indians lineup that's not very good, and put a guy who's actually relieved in the big leagues in the bullpen, who succeeded in that role when they needed a reliever because Zimmer's hurt and Hahn. I don't know why they keep saying that Hahn's an issue because he hasn't been on the mound since mid-April, but whatever, he's part of the conversation, I guess. Also on a rehab assignment, along with Kyle Zimmer, by the way. There's positives. They've got guys on the way back. But with that, all that in mind, it was kind of a galaxy brain thought, I think, to put Junis in the bullpen and Lynch in the rotation, but it also made sense when you really sit down and think about it. It's just been a horrible, horrible result. And, it's Saran always talks about this. It's a get-it-right business. and they didn't get that right. They got it wrong. And even if it made sense in the beginning, they were wrong. They were 100% wrong. But I think the bigger issue is not Junis in the bullpen. It's the fact that Daniel Lynch looks so far from big league ready that you have to wonder, what are the evaluators on this team doing? Like, what exactly, how can we trust anything if they thought he was ready when he's been getting lit up like crazy? It just, I think that's a fair question to ask. And one that we've asked for years, honestly, yeah, with this regime. So it's not like it's, oh, well, they got it wrong on one guy, so they're terrible. No, they've gotten it wrong on a lot of guys over the years, and this is just the latest. It's frustrating. I just want to say it to you. I don't think Daniel Lynch is done. I don't think right. he's never going to be a good pitcher. I think he just needs some time in the minors, and he didn't get that. He was on the AAA roster. He never even made a start. He got called up before their first game. So he didn't get that chance. He needs some time. I hope that he will be part of the roster moves that happen before tomorrow's game. If they don't make any moves before tomorrow, I don't understand what the point of having a front office is, honestly. And I know that sounds really like final, but at the same time, they've lost 11 in a row. They've got a DH who can't hit, a right fielder who can't play the field, but they have a right fielder in AAA who can hit and play the field, and you can move your right fielder who can't play the field to D. Like, there's so many obvious solutions that have to be made that if they don't do it today because they're waiting for the magical 40-game mark, like, just fire everybody because you're not doing your job in any way, shape, or form.
We got this regime and a fire everybody if they don't blank. This has been a bad couple of weeks. Can I Venmo you $5 to get a drink? Or can you just not watch the game tomorrow? Just fully let that one go?
You know, the nice thing about
games tomorrow, excuse me. Oh, God.
There are two. But there's only 14 innings worth of games. It's the first time I've liked the 7-inning doubleheader. It'll be over quicker. The nice thing about, you know, I pretty much only write during the week, so if I don't watch a game on the weekend, I can fake it on Monday. But
for sure,
I don't know. We'll see. I can't pull myself away. I have a very real problem.
and they are the Royals. I do want to dig in on Daniel Lynch there for a second, because of all of the things that may or may not matter over the course of this season, like, look, if they end up being a team that's a little bit sub 500 over the course of the year, if they end up being if they're a 75 win team, if they're a 70 win, whatever, if it's not a total absolute embarrassment over the course of the year, it doesn't really matter what their final record ends up being if they're also not a playoff team. But what might matter is totally getting the timing wrong on Daniel Lynch, or maybe even having greater expectations for him than he actually provided. You say that he's not done, right? Just needs to actually throw baseballs in the minor leagues. But is there a little like range of potential outcomes right now that maybe you're more or less worried about with him?
You know, it's three starts at the big league level that he clearly isn't ready for. There were some concerns in the minors, and the other problem with evaluating anybody right now is we don't have minor league data since 2019. Mm-hmm. It's literally all alternate site, which is playing against your own guys. So if a pitcher is dominating, there's a chance that the offense just sucks, right? It doesn't necessarily mean the pitcher is great. So in the minors, he probably didn't miss enough bats, which I think is something that you can kind of fine tune your breaking balls. And I mean, he threw a changeup to Miguel Cabrera in the top of the second inning today that, like, if he could produce that every single time, he would never give up a hit, but he can't. And that's the sort of thing that you need to produce it more often than he has. And that's the thing you can work on in the minor leagues where it doesn't really matter. So I still look at Daniel Lynch and I see a guy who, if you asked me which of the 29 million pitching prospects they have, and that's still a positive too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Which of those is going to start game one of a playoff series if they ever get there? I would bet on Daniel Lynch. I mean, I'd bet on the field over any of them. But
sure,
if you made me pick one of those pitchers, Daniel Lynch is the guy who's going to be starting game one of the ALDS in 2023 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not terribly concerned yet. I just, like I said, I think there's some things that need to need to get fixed, that need to work out, and that's okay. Most guys don't come to the big leagues fully cooked. Now, most of them don't get rocked like Daniel Lynch has. But also, I put this on Twitter, and I know I'm kind of going wishy-washy back and forth here. That second inning when he gave up four runs, I don't think he gives up a hit. I think they go 1-2-3 if they have a competent right fielder in
right.
I mean, truly, Jorge, the first yeah. Miguel Cabrera blooped a single that I think out of 100 right fielders, Soler's the only one that doesn't get to it unless you put Nelson Cruz out there. The ball off, I think it was Eric Haas, maybe, that went over his head. I don't think 99 out of 100 get it, but I think like 80 out of 100 get it. So that's an out, and then there was an out in there. So that's a 1-2-3 inning. None of that happened. The Royals win the game 3-0. We're talking about, hey, the losing streak's over. It's time to go to Chicago and show them that last weekend was an aberration. You know, all that garbage that's not true. But you get really excited about it because they won a game. You know, so I don't know. I just don't think he was terribly sharp, and I think there were a lot of things that showed he wasn't ready. But also, I think he kind of got a little bit in trouble because of Royals' decision making that wasn't about him. Now, again, too much contact. Yes, it would have been nice if on the ball that Cabrera blooped, for example. It would have been nice if that was a touch more outside and he would have maybe swung through it or hit on the ground. The ball that Haas lined over Soler's head, but that wasn't the location was bad. So he made that mistake. But you know, you put any competent right fielder out there and the start probably looks a whole lot different. So it's, you got to take that into consideration too. There's just a lot going on bad, and it's hard to know where to put the blame.
Well, you took me to one of the other things I very much wanted to ask you about, which is Jorge Soler in right field. Today was not his first bad game in the field. I don't know if you've got an example off the top of your head of Jorge Soler's first really good defensive outing. I'm not sure that it has existed because he's not a right fielder. He's a hitter. It's just where we're at this point. And the thing that's confusing to me, and I tweeted this and then tagged you and Alec Lewis both, and he was making some points about handedness and trying to optimize the lineup that way. And I understand that and the role that plays. However, it seems like way, way, way overthinking to get Ryan O'Hearn his bat in the lineup at DH, which moves Jorge Soler into right field, moving Hunter Dozier to third base to essentially replace Hansel Alberto with Ryan O'Hearn, when the only hit out of that spot today did come from Alberto's one plate appearance where he actually did get on base after O'Hearn struck out two times out of his three at-bats. So I don't know. Am I the one taking crazy pills, or is this working way too hard for a pretty terrible outcome?
Well, so it's not just the lineup either, right? Because Dozier's a better right fielder than third baseman. Mm-hmm. Soler is a better anything than right fielder.
Non-glove wearer, yes.
Yes. Soler is a better DH than right fielder. O'Hearn is a better minor leaguer than major leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
My point with the lineup is that if that was all for the sake of getting your best bat into the lineup or top three bat into your lineup at the cost of some defense, all right, fine, you live with that. Soler was making those errors in a National League game, you know what? That comes with a Jorge Soler equation. Mm-hmm. This is an unforced error.
Yes, this is absolutely. It's not like Ryan O'Hearn is even Andrew Benintendi, who you don't have a spot for him until you got to get a 280 guy with a 360 on base percentage in the lineup. No. It's Ryan O'Hearn, who is not a big leaguer. He's never met a fastball he can hit. I mean, I don't understand the infatuation with Ryan O'Hearn. And I know Alex's point, like, yes, they wanted to get a left-handed bat in the lineup. That's great, but it's almost, you talk about, you got to have three lefties in the bullpen, and then some smart manager comes up, he's like, I don't care what hand they throw with if they get guys out.
Yeah.
And I don't care what side they hit from, if they can't hit. the problem with this whole solution is that Ryan O'Hearn can't hit.
Right.
And so you've taken the defense down 25 notches, where it was already pretty low, right, just to get Ryan O'Hearn's bat in the lineup. And I don't know. I don't think the answer, honestly, is Alberto at third, Dozier in right, and Soler at DH. I think the answer, unfortunately, the best answer was Kyle Isbell in right field, and he didn't play well enough, and so they sent him down. But Ryan O'Hearn has gotten far more of an opportunity to be far worse than Kyle Isbell while actively hurting the team in other spots. And so that I just don't understand. To me, you don't want to bring Isbell back. That's fine. He started fine in AAA. He hit decently. But you look at a guy, Edward Olivares has just torn the cover off the ball to start the season in AAA. At this point, if you're trying to salvage your season, doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Bring up the guy who's a pretty good defender. You can add a lot of speed to your outfield. A better hitter than Ryan O'Hearn. You can move Jorge Soler out of your outfield. You still got Dozier at third, and that's just one of those things that's where the roster is right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't really concern me, because going back to what you said earlier, before the season, I said this is the final season that wins and losses don't especially matter.
Yep.
It's not that, if they lose 100 games, it matters. But if, like you said, I said 76 and 86. If they end up in the mid-70s and guys have progressed, that's fine. Next year, no, that's not okay. But this year, this is the year that they have one more year to say, well, we punted a win for development, but they're not even doing that.
Right.
They're just putting the worst offensive and defensive lineup on the field, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. And it's driving me insane. And I feel like I'm harping on it on Twitter a lot. But it's like every time I turn around, oh, there's a ball that every other right fielder would catch, but Soler's out there. It's not his fault. Not his fault that Mike Matheny writes Jorge Soler RF on the lineup card. That's not his fault. Yeah, he's got to make the play, whatever. But like, he's not a right fielder. It would be like, oh well, Salvador Perez is playing center field and missed a ball. What a bum!
Right, you know? Right.
He shouldn't be out there. It's driving me up the wall. I can't wrap my head around it.
What do you, let's say that Mondesi has a successful rehab stint and he ends up eventually, and you're able to at least move him around some. Like, what if whenever he ends up returning to this lineup, what do you change? What gets shuffled, and how much of an impact does it make?
Well, I mean, he goes to shortstop, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think Nicky Lopez, if you ask a month ago, he's the second baseman, Witt's in right field.
Yep.
If you ask 2 weeks ago, Nicky Lopez is on a bus to somewhere in Pennsylvania where they don't even have a team, and that's that.
Yeah.
Now, the last, 4 days, he started to hit again.
Yep.
I think there's a spot for Nicky Lopez on the roster. I don't know if there's a good spot for him in the starting lineup, but you could make a pretty good argument that Mondesi at short, Lopez at second, Merrifield in right, gives the Royals the best chance to not kick the ball around.
That's where I'm at, and
if Lopez is, look, he's got a .330 on base percentage. I mean, he has no power at all, and he's prone to some slumps because the ball just doesn't find grass because the outfielders don't play deep enough. Mm-hmm. So he can't bloop hits in. I've said that a million times about him, but you really improve your defense. And, you look on the field right now, any given time, they have one elite defender on the field, and it's Michael A. Taylor, who has played terribly defensively last week, which that's a problem too. But if you move Nicky Lopez to second, you've got Mondesi at shortstop, all of a sudden, you've got three elite defenders on the field because Lopez is not a good shortstop. He's not terrible. He's just not good. But he is a really good second baseman. And Mondesi's a really good shortstop. And Taylor, for all his faults lately, is a really good center fielder. All of a sudden, things start to fall into place a little bit better. Just a little bit. But that makes a lot of sense. And then, so Mondesi, he has a maximum of 20 days. I think it was like June 3rd or 4th would be the day he could come back because there's an off day somewhere in there. So if you play with that and then you wait a month and you got Bobby Witt Jr. at third, just to... Yeah, getting you excited there.
Right to my heart.
The defense looks better, so that would help too. But we'll see. I bet Mondesi has hit at this point. I bet that he has gotten up to the plate and had an at bat. I'm going to look at this while we are on the phone.
I love it. Vahe Gregorian, I think, is there for the game. He tweeted out the lineup card, and it just. 2-3-4 is Mondesi, Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Prado. And I was going to make a joke about just bringing all three of those guys up at once, and then I saw that Nick Prado's hitting .130 apparently so far. Not a great start.
Mondesi's
over with a strikeout, by the way.
Oh!
So he's ready.
He's back. He's ready for this lineup. He'll fit right in. They won't even notice that he's been added.
Yeah, Prado's not off to a great start, but I've kind of been able to figure some stuff out with. I haven't watched the games, but sounds like he's actually had some really good plate appearances. And it's a week, so the numbers are kind of whatever. I mean, think back to the first week, what Michael A. Taylor was hitting, just to bring him up again, and we can see how much things can change after 1 week. But yeah, I think when Mondesi comes back, that helps quite a bit. He's streaky, obviously. I mean, he could be terrible offensively, but I think that really helps the lineup too. Just it adds an element to it. They don't have a lot of. They've got a lot of guys who can run a little bit, but they don't have some true speed in the lineup right now. And he adds that too. So that's going to help some. But, I mean, it just there are such basic moves that need to be made that, like I said, if they're not made tonight before tomorrow, I don't understand what the point of them doing what them in their jobs is, because they're clearly not doing what needs to be done.
I want to ask you to do a little bit of recapping on this one before we get into the latest element of it. I want you to just sort of describe your last couple of months talking about, writing about, being right about, being wrong about Hunter Dozier. And then also today, 0-for-4 and a couple of strikeouts. He's barely hitting better than Prado in the minors right now. He's hitting a sick 140 with a 203 on base percentage, making his on base percentage 140 points worse than Nicky Lopez, which is not where you want to be.
Not what you want. No.
Not what you want. It kind of, if you could recap just sort of the journey that you've been on with Hunter Dozier. I only ask you to recap it because I think whatever your current status is will only be made more impactful by people knowing where you started.
Well, I just want to say that if I saw Hunter Dozier right now, I would want to punch him in the face because he's made me look very silly. I wouldn't, because he's bigger than me, but.
Just so you know, that last part you said there will not be included in the context of the line that gets played next time.
That's fair.
It sure won't.
That's fair. I mean, I looked back, it was, I don't know, March-ish, and I looked at the contact rates from 2019 and the hard hit rates and the batted ball data and then his patience in 2020, and I thought, you know what? He had COVID last year. He mentioned it. The strength was down. If he can get back to hitting the ball like he did in 2019, you got a breakout player. And then he had a really, really solid spring. He looked really good, signed that extension. And then he hurt himself on opening day. And it's never been the same. It's just never, it's never been right. And he's suffered from some bad luck, 100%. I don't know what the number is because I stopped looking because it was bad. But at some point, he'd hit 17 balls 100 miles per hour or harder and had 4 hits. His expected bat, so that's what, 232 or something like that, I don't know. His expected batting average on those was like 614. So, okay, that's taken into consideration. So you're only adding 6 hits at that point. And I think he's had a few since then. And he got scorching hot for like 4 games. Remember, he was like 7-for-12 with 3 homers and 3 doubles and a triple. Mm-hmm. And the big joke was Hunter Dozier never hits singles. Well, he still doesn't, which is the good thing for him because he's 0 for his last 30. Is that right? 30, 31, 37? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that you got there before I had to say that out loud because I don't know. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah. He's lost. He's absolutely lost with the plate. And I don't know. Is he trying to justify the contract extension? I don't think so.
Oh God, I had forgotten about that just for like a minute. You know, I wasn't thinking about that when I asked that question, and that just happened. Oh,
it's a fair thing to ask. Is he trying too hard? And now, so here's my thing, and just to go back to what I was talking about with evaluation. If he is, that's another point against him for not recognizing that he's a guy who shouldn't get an extension because he will try too hard to justify it. I think that's a fair thing to be upset about. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, that's who knows? You can't know unless you ask Hunter Dozier, and if you ask Hunter Dozier, he's going to say absolutely not. So you've got to get him really drunk. and I don't know how much he drinks, so there's a lot of issues there. And if he does get drunk, is he an angry drunk? And then if I get mad at him, is he going to hit me? There's a lot of problems.
There's a lot of equations here. There's a lot of Hunter Dozier-related angst that's coming out now.
Yeah, it's a lot of issues here, but... I don't know what the issue is, but he looks terrible. I've never seen him look this bad. I've said that about somebody else this year too, Brad Keller, by the way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. You wonder a little bit. It almost has to have something to do with a thumb injury, doesn't it? Because maybe he changed his approach to accommodate the pain in his thumb. I don't know, and then he can't get it back. Whatever it is, I will tell you, Hunter Dozier has one minor league option remaining.
Oh, boy.
Kelvin Gutierrez is not good. That's me. I didn't mean it that way. this isn't like Ryan O'Hearn's not good. Kelvin Gutierrez is a quintessential replacement player, which there's value to have that on your roster. He plays really good defense at third. I don't know. I mean, maybe Hunter Dozier might enjoy the tranquil sounds of Omaha for a few weeks to try to get things right, because there's something just his pitch recognition is awful right now. His swing is out of whack. Every single aspect of his game, except for his glove, has actually looked pretty good at third the last couple games. And he made a really nice play. I think it was last night where he where he dove. And then he didn't get anything on the flip because he just couldn't. Mm-hmm. That was a really nice play he made. And he's made a couple of plays like that in the past few days as well. But I mean, I think you have an investment in this guy now. It's not just, oh, well, we can DFA him or non-tender him after this season because he didn't perform. You got an investment. So I think the Royals owe it to him, maybe, to send him to Omaha for, it may even only be 2 weeks. You just got to get his swing right, basically. Yeah. And they've got a third baseman on the 40-man roster. So that's worth considering, but it's very disappointing to me. And Hunter, if you're listening, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Although you do want to punch him in the face, which is a weird energy.
A little mad.
I didn't say... Well, yeah, I did.
So disappointed with someone that I've wanted to punch them in the face, you know? That's
well,
not...
That's because we haven't hung out very much. no, I wrote too much about him, and then he didn't perform, and it makes me sad. And when I get sad, I get punchy. No, I'm just kidding. it's really disappointing. But like Lynch, it's not like all hope is lost. I mean, this is a guy who, even in a season where he had admitted to not having very much strength because of having COVID, he still was okay last year. And then in 2019, I mean, he was a guy in the lineup when he was healthy. It's not like, well, he's never done it before, and I want to, I don't think it was a huge limb to say Hunter Dozier is going to have a nice season in 2021. He's just completely fallen off everything. I don't think it would be the worst idea for him to have a little time just to work on things out of the spotlight. Not that there's a huge spotlight or anything in Kansas City, especially now, but it wouldn't be the worst idea to give him, like I said, 2 or 3 weeks. Just give him an opportunity, let Kelvin Gutierrez, and the plus side of that, you can kind of see what you have in Gutierrez, which they haven't really had a chance to do at the big league level. He's, I believe, out of options after this season, so you kind of need to make a decision on him, especially with Bobby Witt coming up, in a month and a half. just going to keep throwing that out there to keep you happy.
I appreciate it.
And yeah.
I wish you were saying tomorrow, but that's also fine.
Well, I would bring him up tomorrow because I love Bobby Witt Jr., but the Royals won't.
It's not what the Bitly says.
Yeah, it's true. Well, the Bitly doesn't say that anymore.
No. What I actually had to do was I actually had to redirect bit.ly/TheRoyalsHateLeskie to bit.ly/LeskieHatesBobbyWitt to InsideTheCrown.substack.com.
Perfect.
It's a whole thing.
I appreciate the effort that you put in there. It would give them an opportunity to evaluate Gutierrez as well. That makes sense to me. I don't know. When a guy is so far below his career, it's one of those things that you kind of throw your arms up. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. But like I said, they invested in him. I don't think they can just let this keep happening. I think they need to figure it out and get it right as quickly as they can.
What you need to do is go to the next game like that guy in Detroit who is absolutely naked in his chair, wearing his sunglasses and his smile, and that is it.
You know, I've been to one game where it's been above like 53 degrees, so I'm going to hold off on that. But I think the next home stand might warm up. So
It was 66 degrees in Detroit today.
Nice.
The dude behind him is in a hoodie.
Look, good for that. Good for that guy. All right. I think we all should strive to be as happy as that guy was today.
Yeah.
I was going to take off my shoes and socks and put my feet on the desk for the rest, for like next segment, but that's too gross for me to do, and that's where I'm at. But
yeah, don't do that.
I'm not going to. There's your slump buster suggestion.
I think that's a really good idea, and I don't know if I'm going out there on Tuesday or Wednesday. I have to look, but whenever I do, I guarantee you the camera will find me because I will be just like that guy. And I'm even going to go buy a Michigan tank top so I can put it on once people tell me that I've been seen.
I think once you've been seen, there's nothing to hide anymore, and it doesn't really matter. Thank you, Lesky. Sorry about the Royals hating you, and yeah, well, just keep saying the URL over and over so maybe people will go click the newsletter.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
David Lesky, really in a dark place right now.
Understandable.
A violent, sad David Lesky.
Understandable.
You can follow him on Twitter at DBLesky. You can read the Inside the Crown newsletter at insidethecrown.substack.com, bit.ly/TheRoyalsHateLesky, bit.ly/LeskyHatesBobbyWitt, and then through all of his links on his Twitter account, which is twitter.com/DBLesky. Should I make a bit.ly for his Twitter account also, just to send people straight there?
Yeah.
bit.ly/Lesky wants to punch
Hunter Dozier in
Hunter
the face.
Dozier. Yeah,
it's a little long. I'll see if I can figure it out. So you can go to bit.ly/punchy Lesky. Yeah, that you should change his at to punchy Lesky. I think that might be good.
Lesky somebody, punchy hunty.
Well, I'm gonna stop playing with that particular series of sounds and just take a break to be safe.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I've heard people go like, "Oh yeah, what a choke fest!" Like, I get whenever a team loses a game that they shouldn't lose, calling it a choke festival is so much more lighthearted, so much more fun.
I don't know. That can get pretty dark.
That's a choke festival. Woo!
Yeah.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I don't see what's wrong with that, Beards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't think I can talk about the Royals anymore. We gave you a great 30 minutes of Lesky being angry, sad.
Baseball.
But there it is. Here's what we can talk about that all three of us were seeing on Twitter while talking to Lesky and just waiting for the segment to come around to talk about on the radio. Udonis Haslam, who is 40 years old and still a member of the Miami Heat, got his first minutes of the 2021 season today. He came in. He was 2-for-2 from the field. Got into an altercation with Dwight Howard.
Yep.
And got two technicals in 2 minutes and was summarily ejected.
One of the most efficient games in NBA history. He went 2-for-2 in 2 minutes and got two technicals. Doesn't get much more efficient than that.
Beard, you're talking about a weird NBA thing that happened. You have my express written permission to turn on your microphone.
When he checked in the game.
Also, by the way, Dwight Howard is a Sixer.
Yes. You guys were talking to Lesky, and I just, thankfully the mic wasn't on, because I just went, "Oh my God, it's Udonis Haslam," very loudly, and I'm surprised you all didn't react to that.
I saw some movement, but I'm a professional.
It was shocking. Seeing Haslam anytime is shocking. I don't think he's played 20 games in more than 5 years. I haven't looked. That's not 100% accurate, I'm sure, but I'm also 100% sure it's accurate.
Don't look, Rudy. We're gonna play some Udonis Haslam games. You and Beards can compete. You keep that basketball reference page off your screen.
We'll do.
So, how many games do you think he had? This doesn't include this year in real time, I guess. I guess he didn't have a stat this year yet.
Well, yeah, because he hadn't played yet.
How many games do you think he has started since, including the 2015-16 season through the 2019-20 season?
Started.
How many games has he started? What was your cutoff for 20 Beards for games played? What year did you say?
5 years. Five. I'm sure it's more than that.
This goes back to 6 years ago. So
okay.
counting this
game
year.
Game started.
Give me a number. Throw out a number.
14. Let's go with 5.
2.
Yeah.
He started a game in 2019-20, a game in 18-19.
I figured there would be more token starts in there.
Here are his games played going back to 2015-16. 37, 16, 14, 10, 4.
Yeah.
And now 1. Now, the real game that I like to play. Do you have music for a game?
Oh, you bet I do.
Welcome to another edition of...
How much money did Udonis Haslam make?
it's going to be called Guess the Salary, and we can all do it. But I was going to have you guys do it, like, you guys echo it after
guess
all y'all guess.
Guess the Salary!
No, all y'all guess, and then you guys both yell guess, and then I'll say the, and you guys both yell the, and then I'll say salary.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Salary! Okay. Woo!
I wonder if people listening to this show think that Rudy is a genuinely stupid man. Just dawned on me. He's not always like this. He's just found sort of an evolution of the Rudy Salazar radio character that I think is doing some questionable things for his brand.
Is this Rudy Salad Bar?
Yes.
Ah.
This is Rudy Salmonella Bar. this has the lettuce that got recalled, but it's still in the salad bar. Time for another edition of Guess!
How much money did Udonis Haslam make? Is that not the game we're playing?
I couldn't hear either of your jokes. Beers, that one was your fault because you saw Rudy go back to the microphone and you could see him. He can't see you.
I did it right.
I wasn't paying attention to Rudy.
I wish you would, though, is the big thing that I wish you would. Career salary for Udonis Haslam, 18 seasons estimated earnings. The crazy thing is in some of the details here, his highest paid year was 2009.
That makes sense.
How much money do you think he made that year?
$12 million.
Oh, let's go with 14.
Give me his full career, and I'll tell you the results of all of them.
Full career.
18 seasons.
Let's go with 81. 81 million.
75.
65.
Nice.
His 2009 season was only $7 million.
Mm.
The interesting thing...
Never had one of those years.
Is it from 10 to 11...
He was also part of, like, the 2000s era.
But from the 10 to 11 stretch... From 2010-11 through this year, this decade, it's all right around the same 3.5, 3, 4, 4.5, 3, 4, 2, 2, 2, 2.5. Mm-hmm. Like, it's right in that range, which is kind of funny because you usually don't, like, if that's your salary for a decade, you're never in the league that long. Like, if you did something to earn all of that, you probably had a bigger payout earlier. Udonis Haslam has just been, he's just been cashing checks for at least $2 million since 2005.
Yeah.
Not bad work if you can get it.
Good for
How
him,
much
man.
Of that will be lost tonight because of his fine with Dwight?
$20,000.
Is that the? I mean, that's probably the actual answer, right?
Probably something around there.
Probably, right? 25, maybe?
It's like all of those guys that were on the Cavs roster there when LeBron was there. It was like Dante Jones and Kendrick Perkins. They were literally only there to make hard fouls and then have LeBron pay their fines for them.
Who do you think is paying UD's fine? He's got more money than... it's out
yeah.
of pocket.
Yep. Yeah, it's
Pat
Riley.
Because
it's not Jimmy Butler.
No,
he was,
no way.
Butler was no,
no way.
Butler was making his own teammates buy coffee, like, during the bubble.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's not picking up anybody's tab.
Butler's not out here giving out money.
Absolutely not.
Tyler Hero and Bam haven't made enough yet. It's Pat Riley.
I think he's paying his own fine tonight.
The lawn's a warning.
Did you not see the video? Like, even though Pat Riley has a mask on, you can clearly tell he's smiling.
All right, fair enough. Maybe he steps in then.
Like, there's a video of him walking off. It cuts to Pat Riley, and you see a little dimples in the cheeks, and you're like, Pat Riley is happy right now.
My favorite part of the whole experience from this was there was, I think Wob put out the video of when Haslam checked in. It was for a free throw, and he goes and boxes out Dwight kind of hard.
Yeah.
And you can see Dwight smile like, oh, okay, something's about to happen here. He knew.
What was the last year that both of those guys played significant minutes?
2009?
Probably, right? I mean, it's mostly on UD side, I guess, but it's just a
2012
little time capsule there. How are you guys feeling about the NBA playoffs? Beards, I straight
doesn't
up
matter.
I kid you not, I forgot Kemba Walker existed, much less was a Celtic. I saw someone tweet about Kemba Walker, and I was like, oh, I kind of thought he ended up somewhere else.
No, he's there.
He got hurt last night, right?
Yeah, he's still there. Did he get hurt last night?
He came back in the game.
Okay, I didn't see that. But Beards has Kemba Walker and just a bunch of dudes, and Marcus Smart, right?
And Tatum.
I thought Tatum got hurt also.
No, Jaylen Brown. Out.
I thought Tatum also got hurt.
No, he's had COVID all year, though.
Yeah.
Okay. That music's over. And that was guess.
How much money did the Giants have to make?
Salary. So you're not totally dead in the water, Beards. It's not great.
Oh, it's not good.
It's not good.
I mean, they're in the play-in game.
Rudy's Nuggets have lost Jamal Murray.
And they're the 4 seed.
And Will Barton. Who?
Is Michael Malone out too?
Yeah, Will Barton's been out for like the last 3 weeks, Beards.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Malone did say today he thinks Will Barton might be back for the playoffs, but certainly not before the playoffs.
Not a whole lot of game left.
P.J. Dozier's out, which, you know, hey, P.J. Dozier is a backup, but has some really good big playoff moments. You were asking me what a P.J. Dozier was against the Lakers last year when he had some big moments in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I still don't know. Can he play third base?
He's a good backup. I mean, probably better than Hunter
Dozier. You think Lesky wants to punch him in the face?
Probably not. He's also out.
DeAndre Ayton is out for my Sons tonight.
McGee.
I have Sons. And the Suns are a 2 seed who are going to end up playing the winner of the Lakers-Warriors play-in game. And that's
at the current rate things are going.
Sucks. That sucks, yeah. Bleep, dude.
Can I say one semi-positive thing about that if it's the Lakers?
No.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James are coming off their injuries. And who knows how healthy they are. Anthony Davis is made of glass.
I could send Lesky to the Lakers team hotel and let him just punch away, and I would not feel anything
but like
other than
the small good thing that you can say about that is maybe they aren't actually all that healthy,
and they only went in 6.
I mean, hopefully not.
I would rather see the Suns play the Nuggets, Blazers, Mavs, easy.
Yeah,
and probably the Clippers. Than the Lakers, not than the Warriors, I think, right? This sucks. Our NBA teams were having such sort of... Beards, not so much,
fun
I guess.
Seasons.
But we were having such fun like seasons.
It was a good start, and then just COVID and injuries.
Yeah.
Okay, excuses, sure.
The Celtics...
Me and Josh were talking about how electric like a playoff matchup would be.
Boston had so the most time off by COVID out of anybody by like 30 days or more.
Yeah, you guys should have been well-rested.
Which is why Tatum needs an inhaler before every game now.
Well, he should have. I guess, you know,
maybe
microchips.
Follow protocols.
Yeah, that's probably.
Stop going out and acting like heathens.
We're probably not going to regret that characterization. Beards pulled out the inhaler card. Like, I feel like we should have just gone to a break as soon as Beards invoked the... Don't raise your eyebrows at me. I'm trying to throw to break, Beards. I don't need your snide comments. I'm going to send Lesky into the control room and just see what happens.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards, ask your serious NBA questions. We have a wrap up the show tonight. I will say this also. We're done here at 8 because we got a special for you here coming up right after us here on Sports Radio 810. The Daily Wager NFL season preview show from ESPN Radio will be airing from 8 to 10 tonight. And then tomorrow, we're live for 4 hours, 6 to 10. We'll have Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News wrap up the week as we usually do. Matt Verderman will join us at 7. We have a bleep ton of Top Shot to open. That's tomorrow. Beards, quick, ask your NBA question.
Are we confident in anybody in the NBA to make it to the finals?
Quick, this is why it's so depressing with the Nuggets, because this really was the year where you could have made an argument that maybe they could have won it.
It's why I'm optimistic about Phoenix on some level, I guess.
Like, there's nobody in the East I'm 100% certain of now.
I know it's not the Celtics.
I feel like you can draw the cutoff line at the East. Like, if the Hawks, Heat, Knicks, Celtics, Hornets, Pacers did anything, I would be surprised. But that gives you 3 teams. I think you know the Eastern Conference Finals are going to be among those three teams. In the West, who knows? It's just whose knees and hamstrings are working, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
But isn't that the case for all of us?
Certainly for me.
If you tweak an ankle, mess up a knee, get punched in the face by David Leskie out of nowhere, who knows what it's going
to
be?
Is that what happened to PJ Dozier?
I still don't know who that is. We'll talk to you at 6 tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.